Good morning, Fairbanks. You're listening to KFAR Radio. We're at 660 on the AM dial, 97 on the FM dial, and we live stream at kfarradio.com. This is Problem Corner. I'm your host, David Cruz. If you want to call into today's show, we're at 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255. And with that, I have Glenner Anderson, Glenn Anderson, who will be joining me in a little bit. He was supposed to, he was here at the beginning, that he was, but the logs on our system here are off, so we had to run into his studio to fix my logs. And it's just other evidence of they keep me in this purple padded room with sparkles, gold sparkles in the purple pads, with North Korean equipment. And this North Korean equipment gives wrong logs, and but luckily, Glenner was here, and I sort of pointed this out to him. That's why I enjoy working it out here so much for. It he's got to work with some great people, even though it's workforce, you know, dangerous workplace environment here. But I can get through it. I can make this out. I can do it. Anyway, this weekend is the beginning of the 23rd annual Funny Fest here in Fairbanks that happens. And so Glenn's going to be in here in a little bit to talk us through it, the nights that they have. Friday and Saturday nights, I believe, at Pioneer Park. Wednesday out at the North Pole, the tap house out there that used to be the refinery. And so it should go well. Everything should go well and get that done. But my goodness, 23 years of comedy that the same group has been doing, and they have their own teaching segment on Friday night. They have five stand-up comedians for the first time ever from Fairbanks who have never done it before. They've taken a class through the week. They get up on Friday, and the other five, they get up on Saturday, and that is there at the Pioneer Park. And we have Glenn Anderson back in the studio here.
Oh yeah, I'll be right there
doing what he does, knowing what he's doing after years, but it's not fixed yet.
There it is.
Okay.
We're good.
Okay, so.
You just need to start. That was Problem Corner.
Yeah, so.
So I can take this out.
Yeah.
All right.
We're good?
Yeah, I think we're good.
Fairbanks, you heard it live. We are good to go because of the prowess of Glenn Anderson. Boy, program manager here at the radio stations. And he's still working on it. We're still getting there. And this is brought to you live stream. How about that?
Well, we're working on this. Okay, it's a work in progress here. Work in progress. All right, I think we're on. All right, okay?
We're good. You've done well.
Okay.
We'll get the levels back up here.
You're good?
Yeah, I'm good. Yeah, I'm good.
Okay.
All
right, good. Yeah, we just had a little... coming out of the weekend, a little mishap there, you know, into the new year, and the issues going on.
You were talking about this is our first real week back, full week, and everything going on, and you've got two people out sick, plus you're doing your Funny Fest, and your partner's stuck in Hawaii because of
he tried 737 to make me feel.
Maxes, the door's popping off.
Right, yeah, because Jerry Evans, of course, and I do the Fairbanks Funny Festival. And, of course, typical Monday we come in. Melissa is out sick. I hope she's feeling better.
Yeah.
So we got to fill in. She's our production manager doing all the ads and everything. So I'm doing that besides my show. And then Natalie Neubauer, who does middays on X-Rock, was out. So I had to go in and help do that midday show. And then I had screw-ups here on the – so I had to go reprogram the day, reload the day, and download. So we have all the right ads and everything working here now properly. And then our class starts tonight for the Fairbanks Funny Festival. And Jerry and I teach it. We set it all up. We have all the worksheets and everything. Well, he's been in Maui for 2 weeks with his lovely wife, Dana, where she teaches. And he goes over there about five times a year. Of course, supposed to come home Saturday night, Sunday morning. But due to the incident there with Alaska Airlines, it grounded all those planes. So now he's trying to get back by Wednesday, which means I'm doing things solo. He says, oh, but I can Zoom and I'll be there on FaceTime. Like, that's going to be a big help to me. So now I got to babysit Jerry FaceTime while I teach the class solo this week. So it's going to be great, though. I'm real excited. We have a group of people. We have, let's see, a captain from the Alaska State Troopers. We got a school principal. We've got a truck driver. We've got a new TV news anchor. We've got a chef. We've got a whole bunch of different people that are doing the Funny Fest. And it's the 23rd year we've done it. And it's just my favorite thing because it's a bunch of people who have never done comedy. And this is some of them, it's something they want to pursue. They've always done. Others, it's just a bucket list thing. And, you know, some have something to say, some don't have anything. So it's always interesting that first night to see what we have to work with. And then what they will do is we have basically four nights to make a dozen people funny.
Sorry for laughing, but you know.
Keep talking. Your mic sounds.
Yeah, it does not sound right, does it? Does not sound right.
Let me see where. Oh, let me see. Got mic two up all the way.
Yeah, there we go.
Down a little bit.
But okay. I wonder if it's the headphones. You know, my levels here are fine.
Oh yeah, no, you just sounded a little. It's just me. I'm just being picky because you said came across a little distorted.
I laughed at you. Your statement saying. You've got 4 days to make 12 people funny.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, here's the thing. Some of them have done comedy. Mm-hmm. A couple of them have. And a couple of them are used to the microphone. The others have nothing. Some of them are coming in there with no material, no nothing tonight. And so we have to try to, as we call it, find the funny, where we have to try to find what makes them tick and what makes them, what are their interests. Where a lot of people go, I don't know what's funny, you know, and I don't really have any material to draw from. And I'll go, well, do you, what do you do? And they'll go, oh, I drive the short bus. It's like, okay, here we go. I mean, you know.
You got something to work with.
Yeah, we usually do. And we have some folks that are just incredibly funny that that will be coming out and doing the show with us. And then you have the others. That have done it before, and you know, but for the most part, they're all newbies. We got one under 21 person who's coming up from Anchorage, who does theater and everything, really wanted in on this, so his mom's accompanying him, so he will be there. So every once in a while, we will have somebody, I think he's only the second or third in the 23-year history who's actually been under 21. The age of 21
yeah.
to do. It is of an adult nature, obviously, but he's 18. He's a good kid.
Yeah,
he's
can go into the Army. He can go do comedy.
Yeah, exactly.
What the heck?
Yeah, right. So the show's now, let's see, Wednesday sold out already out in North Pole. Thursday night, we're doing a preview show with just Jerry and Lachlan and I, and that's at the Spur. At those are at 8 o'clock because we have the classes this week. But the weekend shows, the Fairbanks Funny Festival is Friday, Saturday, Pioneer Park Theater, 7 o'clock. And it's such a nice big theater. But there is only 400 seats per show, and we've only got two shows. Half of these guys are going to open for Lachlan Friday. The other half will be Saturday. So you're going to have two totally different sets of people. So we get a lot of people to come back the second night. So get your tickets now at aktickets.com. And the headliner is Lachlan Patterson. This big, funny, goofy, really good-looking. He makes me feel very insignificant around him. You know, he's like 6'4". He's got the chiseled chin, the blue eye. He's, you know, he's a surfer from
Man
Southern
of steel.
California.
Yeah.
Man of steel all the way. And just a sweetheart of a guy. And funnier than hell. He was the finalist on Last Comic Standing. And he's performed all over. He's done the Tonight Show and his own Comedy Central specials and all of those. He's been on all of them.
Mm-hmm.
He's a brilliant comic. We've had him up before. But this is the first time he's come up to actually help us teach the workshop. And what we do is to find the funny, how do you structure a joke? You need a setup and you need a punchline. And the key is, how do you get from point A to point B as quickly as possible? You want to have a great setup. But we have a lot of people that will be funny and tell things, but they won't, you know, it's like, well, that's a, you know, they'll be in class and they'll tell us a humorous story.
Yeah.
I'll go, well, that's a very funny story, but where's the punchlines?
Yeah.
You need to punch it up. We need to work this and come up with punchlines. Why don't you say this or this? And they'll go, well, that didn't happen. And I'll go, it doesn't have to. That's the genius of comedy. You can have a real story and then add to it and make it as warped and weird as possible. And those are just, you know, we talk about callbacks. You'll hear a comic do a bit and then he'll call back to a bit he did at the beginning or something earlier in the night. That's a classic move. The other classic move is what we call the power of three. And that is it's used in comedy and has been since vaudevillian days. Bugs Bunny cartoons.
What is the power of three?
It's basically a punchline followed with another short punchline and one more punchline.
Ah.
So it's basically getting three laughs out of one joke.
There you go.
And it's easy to do once you learn the formula. Now, if you look back, you saw it in vaudeville all the time. Three Stooges did it all the time. My favorite example is the Roadrunner. He goes over and he falls off the cliff, doesn't realize it till he looks down. He falls, right? And then boom, just as he falls, he goes to get up and an anvil hits him on the head. And then one more thing, the big rock right after that. So boom, 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 boom. It's never four.
It's three.
It's never two. It's always three. You'll see it in sitcoms. You'll see it in movies. And when you're aware of it, you'll become more cognizant of it. And you're going to start looking for the powers of three and things. It's pretty interesting.
Fairbanks, we're going to take a quick commercial break. You're listening to KFAR Radio. We're at 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255. We come back, we'll have more about the 23rd Annual Funny Fest with Glenn Anderson here. We'll be back after these messages.
Look forward to it.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
It starts with spaghetti noodles and boiling water. A combination of beef, breadcrumbs, parsley, and of course garlic to form the meatballs. Slowly sauteing the meatballs with mushrooms, onions, and more garlic. Placing the spaghetti on a plate topped with Old World style marinara sauce and three flavorful meatballs. A sprinkle of Parmesan on top of it all, your mouth begins to water. You open your eyes, you're at Giraldo's.
Sometimes driving year-round in Alaska is more like maneuvering through an obstacle course than driving on actual roads. Snow and ice, water, gravel, and damaged roads? Ride the Bridgestone AT Revo 3 from GCR Tires and Service. Alaska proven, Alaska tough. The Bridgestone Dueler AT Revo 3 for your light truck, SUV, and CUV delivers a dominating off-road performance and a quietly civilized ride on the road. Buy yours at GCR Tires and Service. The Tire Guys, taming the Alaskan road. Van Horn at Cushman.
It's the 23rd Annual Fairbanks Funny Festival, brought to you by Good Cannabis, starring Lachlan Patterson, Thursday night, 8 o'clock at the Spur. And then the big show Friday and Saturday night, 7 p.m. start times at the Pioneer Park Theater, featuring a group of locals doing comedy for the very first time with the hilarious Lachlan Patterson. 7 p.m. Friday and Saturday night at the Pioneer Park Theater. Tickets available at aktickets.com, but hurry, these shows sell out fast. Brought to you by Good Cannabis, Zach's at Sophie Station, and the radio station.
KFAR weather.
Snow likely this afternoon, otherwise cloudy skies expected. Daytime highs approaching 16. Southerly winds around 5 miles per hour. Cloudy skies expected again tonight, chance of snow 3 above. About an inch of snow today through tonight. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. David Pruse in the studio here. Glenner has jumped out of the studio. He's got items to do, and he should be back in a moment or two. He's down in staff, he's covering for three other people, but that's what he does. That's why he's Glenn Anderson. That's why he's program manager here. Been doing this for a number of years. Now, next Tuesday, our legislature goes into session. I believe it's the 32nd, 33rd legislature, and it's their second year of it. So anything that has to get done, any bill that wants to get passed has to be done this year. And so it starts next Tuesday. It's always, was it the third Tuesday or the second Tuesday in January is when the legislature starts. So it should be, it's a third Tuesday. And Glenn Anderson is back.
I'm sorry.
Now I hate to break this to you, technical suave that you are, but your sequentials are not working on this. I had to cue them up myself.
Let me,
so there's no dead air. But that's life.
Wait,
had no ads?
I got through those. We got through those, but I had to hit the start button. They were not sequential. So this is where we're going to come up. We're here. We're going to come up on this next. Yeah.
All right. So that part is right.
Yeah. But where the start is, it does not. Anyway, we'll get there. We'll get there. Don't worry about it now.
Okay. So yeah. That looks good. That looks good. All right. It looks like the hour's okay anyway.
Okay. Yeah.
All right.
So, again. Another manic Monday for you, sir.
Oh yeah, I just wouldn't have it any other way.
So you've got basically six people on both Friday and Saturday night.
Oh, roughly. There might be 5, 1, 6. I can't remember if we have 11 or 12. I can't believe that way back in the day, we had as many as 22 people in this class.
Wow.
And we had 4 days to get through it, and it was just too much.
Yeah.
So we cut it back because we wanted the students to get more out of the class. So this way, they get to get up there. The first 2 days, tonight and tomorrow, is kind of like classwork. We're sitting in a big conference area together, all seated together, just working on bits, coming up with what they want to talk about. And tomorrow, but that's tonight, we want to get their get maybe a couple punchlines, get some substance. A direction where they're going to go. Tomorrow, we start working on their actual punchlines and everything. Wednesday is a chance for them to go through it on stage. Wednesday and Thursday, we'll be doing dress rehearsals, as it were, on the stage with the lights, the mic, and everything at Pioneer Park. So that gives them 2 nights there, and then it's off to the races that weekend.
It's a great week for them.
Oh, it really is. I mean, people... It's you know, we've had some people take this class and quit their job and go do comedy. You know, there's been more than a couple that have done it. And when you think, I always joke that Fairbanks has more stand-up comedians per capita than anywhere in the world because it's a small town. We've done this for 23 years, and we've got hundreds of locals. And we used to do the Junior Fest with kids, so you have all of them around. So there are literally hundreds of people in this town who have done stand-up comedy. So it's pretty impressive. And one of them that's doing it with us is Rachel Blackwell, who, of course, is a local school principal. She runs a lot of shows. She does she did the Funny Fest some years ago and started the open mic nights at the Big Eye.
Mm-hmm.
She runs all kinds of productions and does comedy around town. She's like one of those that really took it. And I was watching her, and she was performing. It was over at a place in town a few weeks ago, and she was doing a show. And she was very funny. And there's places I kept, always being the instructor, thinking, she should have punched us. And I told her, I said, you ought to do the Funny Fest again. You're really funny, but let me help you. It's kind of like a golf pro. He's already a professional golfer, but he still has a swing coach to help him just, sand down the rough edges, straighten things out.
Keep in tuned.
And I told her, do it, because let me just help you with the punch-ups, with the jokes you have, and just kind of work on them a little bit. And so that's what we're going to do with her, whereas others will take the class that have nothing. They're coming in there tonight. They have no idea what they're going to talk about. And those are the fun ones, because then we get to kind of really pull it out. Well, what do you think's funny? What is, there's other things like misdirection is another great opportunity for people to, that's another one of those little tools in comedy, is misdirection, where you think the punchline's going somewhere and then it goes in a different direction. That's a key to really good comedy as well, where, they'll lead you into something and all of a sudden it goes in a whole different direction. That's misdirection. Another one I like to use a lot is analogies.
Mm-hmm.
So-and-so is like, or it's...
How did you get into this?
I think like a lot of people, I was a class clown growing up. I was a total class clown. Hunter Elementary, Ryan Middle School, West Valley High School. Wasn't a big teacher favorite. Some of the teachers that had senses of humor, I became good friends with to this very day. Others, not so much.
They're too serious.
They didn't quite get it. They didn't get Glenner. And but in elementary school, I would MC school plays. I was never in the play, but I was very good at reading.
Yeah.
And I wasn't shy from a microphone. Because
okay.
I would, at my house, my mom and dad had the big RCA stereophonic console that had the radio, reel-to-reel, and record player with the big lift top. It had the little side things and the built-in speakers, remember?
Yeah.
And with that reel-to-reel, I had had a microphone, and I would read Mad Magazine. I would make my own sound effects and stories. And young Curtis Thomas and I, in like second grade, would sit over at my house and what I wouldn't give to have some of these old reels of tape of us reading from Mad Magazine as kids, making our own sound effects. And he and I then would go on and MC the school plays at Hunter Elementary, the school, the Christmas pageant, whatever. Mm-hmm. The Littlest Christmas Tree, I remember, is the first one I read. And he and Curtis and I, and my dad, God rest his soul, years and years later after I was in radio, said, you know, even when you were a little kid, it was funny because I'd go to the school play and you wouldn't be in the play, but I'd hear you. It was just like listening in the car now. It's like I couldn't see you, but I could hear you. And from there, doing, you know, it was just obvious to get into radio, and radio was such a natural segue for Jerry and I. We were constantly on stage emceeing something and being funny, so it was very easy then to jump in and kind of segue into that comedy thing.
Yeah.
I loved comedy. We both loved it growing up, and I remember it was Dennis Hartley who was injured while on stage at the Roof. You remember the center?
Yes.
And we were doing a comedy show, or he was, and we were there in the audience, and we had kind of dabbled a little bit, but he got hurt and had to leave, so we had to fill in for him.
How did Dennis Hartley get hurt?
He was doing he's doing this guitar thing, and he was a bigger guy, and he does the Who, and he kind of goes down onto his knees, and he kind of went, bam, and popped his knee, and he hurt
and
himself.
And out came Glitter.
And out came me and Jerry to fill in, and the rest was history. And then, you know, growing up, we started doing comedy. We always loved comics. Said, man, how can we, you know, we'd fly out to go watch our favorite comics. And, well, what do we need to do to make them come to us? Thus, the Comedy Showcase was born. We started doing it with Fox TV. They would bring up comics. We would MC. And then we started doing it on our own. Jerry runs Alaska Comedy, and he brings these comics up.
Mm-hmm.
And I just kind of, I basically work for Jerry in the world of comedy. He pays me. And I'm his opening man. We help set up the shows and advertise them. I help him with that, help him shuttle the comic around when they're in town. So it's been a nice working relationship. And then over the years, we thought, you know, years ago, we thought, man, we had to kind of learn on the fly, and we learned from all the great comics how to do comedy. Are we still having issues over there?
No. Actually, I think we're good now. Yeah.
Okay.
It popped up. Your bumper music popped up,
and we're
going to take a phone call real fast, and we'll go into
We are? Okay. Yeah. All right.
Good morning. You got a minute with us, and your name is?
Jeannie Olson.
Jeannie, how are you doing? Could you call back and say 15 minutes?
I will.
Thank you.
I take it she wasn't here to talk comedy.
No.
Okay.
No.
Anyway, so yeah, we had we basically started bringing comics up here, and Jerry has had shows. He's brought comics everywhere from Dutch Harbor to Nome to, we've done them in Cantwell, we've done them in Anaktuvik Pass, Ketchikan, anywhere. So go to alaskacomedy.com and also check out 20 Years of Alaska Comedy. See it all on the documentary on YouTube. 20 Years of Alaska Comedy. It's free to watch, and it's a brilliant documentary.
It's coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Campaigns out for President Joe Biden, this time at the Mother Emanuel AME Church in Charleston, South Carolina. Today, he talked about the economy.
I said we'd invest in all of America. All America. And we are. The results are clear. Over 14 million new jobs, record economic growth, the lowest inflation rate of any major economy in the world. But we have more to do.
We also have learned about the Secretary of Defense, Lloyd Austin's recent health issues. He's been in the hospital. National Security Council spokesman John Kirby.
Our main focus right now is on Secretary Austin's health and making sure that he gets all the care and the support that he needs to fully recover. That's the focus. He has already resumed all his authorities.
But apparently he was actually in intensive care for a little bit. Nobody knew about it. America's listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
Alaska's news source reports that Alaska Airlines continues to cancel flights after one of its Boeing 737 MAX 9 planes suffered a mid-air blowout Friday night with 171 passengers and six crew members on board. The airline canceled 170 flights on Sunday, impacting about 25,000 people, the airline wrote in a post on their website. Alaska Airlines canceled roughly the same amount of flights, 160, on Saturday, impacting about 23,000 customers. According to FlightAware.com, only one departing flight was canceled Sunday at Ted Stevens Anchorage International Airport, but dozens of others experienced long delays. The airline had cleared 18 of the 65 planes for takeoff Saturday, but the following day grounded its fleet of Boeing 737 MAX 9 jetliners following orders of the Federal Aviation Administration. The FAA is requiring immediate inspections of certain Boeing 737 MAX 9 planes before they can return to flight. FAA Administrator Mike Whitaker wrote in a statement.
Streaming live online at KFAR660.com.
Stay informed of what's happening on the firearms scene today. Tune in to Shooter's Corner with your host, Laura Berkowitz, for news and conversation on guns, your Second Amendment rights, local events, and important legislation. Sponsored in part by Rogers Auto Repair. Rogers Auto Repair has been helping interior Alaskans care for their cars and trucks for 50 years from their same location near the airport on Dale Road. Listen in to Shooter's Corner every Thursday morning at 11, right here on KFAR Radio.
Dearest Mother, I've written in the past about visiting Brewster's. I once again went two evenings ago. More great food, generous portions, and it was quick to come out. I tried something new, mozzarella sticks. They were something I've never had before anywhere. And I will look forward to coming back to Brewster's to have them again. My server, of course, was delightful and was very attentive. Great service, great food. Plus, they have a bar. Mother, I will be back. Brewster's is one of the better restaurants in Fairbanks for dinner. Your beloved son, Henry.
Are you interested in recycling in our town? Come learn about recycling, waste management, and environmental cleanup in the Fairbanks North Star Borough. It's the Interior Alaska Solid Waste and Recycling Symposium, Friday, January 19th from 12 to 7 p.m. at the Carlson Center. There'll be vendor exhibits and presentations provided for businesses and residents. Find out our recycling options in Interior Alaska. This is free to the public, Friday, January 19th at the Carlson Center. For more information, call 907-455-4496. Presented by Golden Heart Waste Management.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. David Priz in the studio here. Hopefully, Glenn will be back soon. He's quite busy this Monday. He's got the production manager out. The person who does the afternoon of X-Rock is out. It's a Monday. He's got 18,000 things going on. His partner in crime in comedy is stuck in Hawaii, and tonight they start their 23rd annual Fairbanks Funny Fest process. Here he comes. He's back with a vengeance. How you doing, sir?
Very good. Very good. Good to be here on a nice snowy Monday here in Fairbanks, above zero in January. It's always a plus.
It's great. We're getting a few inches of snow, and we're getting a few minutes of daylight increase
every day. That's the good part. Every day.
So that's how you started in the business. Is someone got hurt and
kind of stepped up. And we were doing it for a while at if you remember, the Kobuk Room over at the Westmark.
Yes.
It was a little side bar, and K Wolf, we kind of took over that. We would do K Wolf night. We would do ladies night. We would DJ there every night. Jerry and I and Bill Changer, of course, mm-hmm. Steve Dennis. And we started doing comedy there, just kind of an open mic night telling jokes. And that's kind of where it all
started.
All began. My first show was at Pike's in the bar, my very first actual show that I was doing.
Mm-hmm.
And they hired me to, I think it was Fox TV had some event, and they hired me to do it there. So
What year was that?
Oh, man.
80s,
90s? 90s. It was okay. 90s, or early 90s, mid-90s.
Okay.
When
Guy and Lily and Kasnick had it.
Yeah, I don't even remember. Yeah. No, I think Jay had it when I...
Did it? Okay.
I think Jay had it when I did... I don't remember, but I just remember it was around that time before I really started getting into the comedy side of it. And then Jerry and I just got to... a couple months ago, we were invited. Got to go play Vegas. We got to do comedy and a bucket list thing.
Mm-hmm.
had Vicky Barbalak from America's Got Talent, the trailer trash queen. She's, you know, that's her big thing. And she headlines. She's got a residency at Jimmy Kimmel's. And we had her up last year, and she said, oh, you guys got to come down open for me. You guys both have to. So we did, and it was a blast. It was her birthday, and we had a big night. I'd never been to that club, so it was a lot of fun. And then we got to go over to the old Tropicana, ooh, which is about, it's sad in there now. I mean, they're not even trying. As it's breaking, they're just lit, because it's all going to be bye-bye next year.
Yeah.
So, like, the elevators were taped off. They had escalators taped off that were broken. There's beer cans in the corners. It was like a frat house. It was just, and they still have like the 1970s carpeting, you know, the orange and red and yellow carpeting. And it's just, it's such a flashback going in there. And then if that's not enough, they have the world famous Laugh Factory is in there. And we went and saw our buddy, the legendary Rich Little.
Wow.
He was, what is he? I think he's 89 now, 90. He's brilliant, brilliant show. Still doing comedy. Still doing his act. And he comes in and he says right away, all right, if anybody's under 45, you're not going to get most of these references. So you better go have a soda.
You Generation Z people and under.
Yeah, exactly. So it was really cool to be able to have that experience. And then we've got a lot of shows coming up. Jerry usually does them about once every 6 weeks. And people are, oh, I missed it. Oh, if you did, you can go to his website, alaskacomedy.com. And there's a little box you click on for email comedy show alerts. Mm-hmm. And you don't get inundated with sales. He only sends them out when there are shows coming, so you don't miss it.
Yeah.
Or ticket specials or something, or the Funny Fest. We get so many people go, oh, I wanted to sign up for Funny Fest. Like, well, we promoted the hell out of it. I don't know where you were, but, you know, it's too late because it fills up in like a week.
Yeah.
So if you want to get in on that, just go to alaskacomedy.com and get on that. And you'll find out when the next shows are, because we'll have one in February. We'll probably do one in March, and then probably one sometime in mid-late April. We'll probably do a couple other shows after the Funny Fest.
When do you start gearing up for your Funny Fest week?
Usually fall, we try to nail down a headliner. Mm-hmm. We got to get our venue and the headliner, or the first two. If we can tie those together, then it's pretty easy after that. We put out the information in November.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, sign-ups are going on now. Sign up if you want to do the Fairbanks Funny Festival. The other part of the festival, obviously, is the second week. We have the world-famous Sklar Brothers coming up. You've seen them on TV a million times, the twin brothers. Glasses, very funny. They've been on shows for 20 years, so they're very famous. And that will be Thursday night, the 18th. And then it wraps up on Saturday, the 20th, with our comedy roast. And that's Mr. John Burns this year. So that'll be fun. And that's we started adding a fundraiser about 20-some years ago. About 20 years ago, we started adding a second week with a big show. Last year, we had Paul Rodriguez.
Mm-hmm.
This year we've got the Sklar Brothers for one show, one night only. And then we finish with the comedy roast. And it's a bunch of locals roasting another local. And this year it's John Burns from Golden Valley. Last year it was Willie Blackburn. Year before that we roasted Benny Lynn. Before that it was Howie Thies. Governor Walker was in on it. We've had Murkowski in on this. Sullivan has helped us with the roast. We've had a lot of great people. Bernie Carl was another. That one was shooting fish in a barrel, roasting Bernie Carl.
Oh, yes.
So same with how all of them. It's been a lot of fun. And this year, a little tougher because it's John. You know, it's just this, you don't find a nicer guy. But that's what's going to make it even all that much more fun to roast him, because and he's very nervous about this, by the way. Very nervous.
Oh, how could he not be?
Yeah. But you know what? As Jerry said, and as the saying goes, we only roast the ones we love and admire. And he's a great guy. He's done great stuff for this community, and we're really looking forward to it. And none of it is malicious.
Mm-hmm.
This is not the Comedy Central roast. These are the Dean Martin roasts. This is nothing more than locker room ribbing, really, you know, is what we're doing, you know, like where's you do with your buddies.
Where's it going to be this year?
It will be back at Wedgewood Resort, and it'll be on the 20th. I think cocktails at 6, show at 7 kind of thing. And I don't remember. You can get a whole table if you want, or just a seat.
What was it ticket cost?
I don't know. You'd have to go to United Way website to check that out.
One of their programs.
It is, because it is a fundraiser, so it is a little pricier. It's not just the price of a comedy ticket, because it is helping out the
United Way
of the Tanawha Valley and all of their umbrella programs. So It's for a great cause. We used to do the Junior Funny Fest, which was a fundraiser for the Big Brothers Big Sisters, which is still part of the United Way. But we did that for many years, and then we kind of got away from that and started doing the roasts. So we're always adding something. And we're looking at a couple big moves in the next couple years with the Funny Fest, kind of ramping it up a little bit. And we're not really sure, so we can't really say anything yet. But we've got some fun ideas moving forward to make this an even bigger event. And it's been 23 years, and it's gone great. Shows always sell out. If you want to go this weekend, I can't tell you enough, aktickets.com, because it's they all sell out.
You know, you and Jerry, you know, you're like running water. You're always flowing. You're always going. You're always doing something. You know,
like an old man's bladder.
Yeah, you know, and you're not changing direction, but you're changing the channel in the river. I don't know what you're doing, how you're doing. So that sounds like what you're doing. You're always looking, upgrading, reviewing.
Yeah, I'm never getting too comfortable doing what you do. You just can't get too comfortable doing the same thing. And yeah, you got to mix things up every once in a while. Take a different route on your way to work, so to speak. So yeah, although I'm saying, talking about mixing things up and doing things different, yet here I am at the same job for 40 years.
and you're keeping me in the same room for 8 years now, you know, this purple padded room with the North Korean equipment.
I'm really mixing things up.
Yeah, and you know, anyway, but you came in, saved the day for me.
Well, it was easy.
I appreciate everything you do. I know
you're a busy man.
No problem.
I appreciate you too, Dave. It's been such a godsend to have you not only on the show, but I know, you know, once you became mayor, I was like, and yet you're still here. You show up every day and you do this, and it's just great. It's just great. You're a good man.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
You have a great day. And Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break, and we'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
How do you get the smoking best deal in town on just about anything? On 50-50 Fridays. Duh, that's how. 50-50 Fridays partners together with your favorite local merchants to bring you great new deals of half-off savings. Simply go to this station's website and click on the 50-50 Fridays button at the top of the page to see what new deal is being offered each week. Get ready to score your half-off deals on such items as dining out, entertainment, services, activities, events, and even more. Shop 50-50 Fridays. You'll spend less. You'll have more. And even if it isn't Friday, be sure to check back with the 50-50 Fridays page regularly, where you can discover unclaimed half-off deals that may still be available. Every 50-50 Fridays week, you'll hear about the upcoming offer daily on 8 of the most listened to radio stations in the interior. Can your business benefit from a week of saturated, enthusiastic promotion on 8 radio stations? The answer is yeah, it sure. Why wouldn't it? Talk to us. 50-50 Fridays, brought to you by the radio station, your local family of radio stations.
Glass Doctor is known as the home, auto, and business glass shop. But what do we mean when we say business? From freight liners to forklifts, loaders, graders, even giant haul trucks, Glass Doctor will custom cut laminated safety glass. From that 1/8-inch piece for that broken backhoe side window, all the way up to 2-inch thick bullet-resistant glass for that underground mining equipment or armored truck. All fabricated right here in Alaska. When it comes to heavy equipment, Glass Doctor has you covered. Find out more at glassdoctor.com.
Call the Glass Doctor, we'll fix your pains.
The Fairbanks Clinic has been here for you since 1932, the year Amelia Earhart completed the first female nonstop solo flight across the Atlantic, the year BBC aired their first television broadcast. That was over 90 years ago, and they're still here, still taking care of you and your family. That's the Fairbanks Clinic in their beautiful building at the corner of Cushman and Gaffney. Call and schedule your appointment today with their family care practice. That's the Fairbanks Clinic, here for you since 1932.
Weather brought to you by The Woodway. Toyotomi oil heaters have warmed interior Alaska homes for decades. Efficient, quiet, and reliable. Buy yours today. The Alaskan way. The right way. The Woodway.
KFAR. Weather.
Snow likely today. Otherwise, overcast skies. Daytime highs approaching 16. Winds out of the south around 5 miles per hour. Overcast skies again tonight. Chance for snow. Lows around 3 above. Slight chance of snow. Tomorrow, 6 above. Cloudy skies. A dusting of snow today. And that's your weather on KFAR, 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Laura Lockwood.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. David Priz in the studio here. I'm expecting Dr. Jeannie Olson to call in. We're going to be discussing again. She called in last week in regards to the building that the borough's building. It's the new animal control building, and she has a few thoughts and opinions on that. And one of them is, why are they purposely taking out the after-hours drop-off shelters there? But anyway, we will get to that if she calls back. And we're going into the legislature now. Every year now, since, what, about 2015, 2016, the gorilla in the room for the legislature, for funding, it's the budget, that's the big thing, is how much of a dividend that they will pay. So it should be interesting. It always is. And last year, the governor, he wanted a, you know, at least a 50-50 split, which would have been about $1,750 per person. The legislature gave out $1,200, $1,300, I believe. I forget what the exact amount was. And the governor let everyone knew what he could do, and he removed funding for different programs and that he didn't think was as important either. So it should be, hopefully they get along better this year, and you get a little bit better dividend, you get a little bit more school funding, but we'll see what happens. It takes 21 representatives, 11 senators, and one governor to agree on a budget per se and getting it through. And that is their exact job. Just they have one function mandated by our state constitution and in their legislative session, and that's to do a budget. It's an annual budget. You do not get to hold other legislatures hostage to any funding that you enact that will be brought up by post legislatures. And we're going to take a phone call here. Good morning, you're on KFAR Radio, and your name is?
Hi, this is Jean Olson.
Jean, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
Yeah, you called up last week, and I asked you to call back again so you can discuss it one more time here. The issue is the borough again.
And this specifically would be animal control and the use of the drop-off kennels.
Mm-hmm.
You find a stray dog, and it's after hours or whatever, that you can bring them in. And they're wanting to basically get away with them. They're trying to do now a soft closure and turf it out or encourage you to bring the animals during the day, which isn't exactly that feasible sometimes. So anyway, basically the citizens, just people, we're going to have a meeting over at Raven Landing in building number 4 tomorrow night from 6 to 7, and it's going to be Zoomed. And if you can't even do the Zoom, I think we're going to Zoom the recording. So if you're on Facebook, the Facebook group is Fairbanks Animal Alliance. And if you're not on Facebook, they can call me and I can send an email. And my cell phone is 907-370-3123. And it's just a brief hour of here's the background, here's why they want to close them, here's why they shouldn't, based on the data and statistics that I crunched from their information, and what we can do about it. Because they refuse to let me get a copy of the design, the architect design, that I think is at maybe 35% still. And I'm getting mixed messages, but from what I understand, there are no drop-off kennels in the new design. So
where's this new, animal control building going to be?
It's going to be somewhere off the old Steeves near Hoffer Glass and between there and Giant Tire in the swamps.
The old Steeves South Cushman. Old Richardson.
So somewhere between, I think, Hoffer Glass and Giant Tire, there's some open property that they bought.
Okay. And you mentioned it's like a $20 million building.
30.
Oh, sorry. You know, hey, I'm in government. What's being off by a factor of 33%?
Just 30. Yeah. And then I did a little bit more digging since I spoke with you. And from what I understand, the reason that there has been no citizen input requested is because they didn't budget for that. So they saw no need for having a meeting to ask the citizens what they would like in the building.
Are they trying to, you mentioned last week that their thought is to have the existing veterinarian clinics step up and have, you know, drop off kennels.
Yeah, a contracted out, and their guess, they budgeted it for the next budget cycle for next year, starting in July, of $150,000 to try and find somebody to contract it out with. And I just said, it's really not broken now. This isn't costing us anything. It's certainly not costing us $150,000. And I think that they're just trying. There's a lot to it. The Association of Shelter Veterinarians were the ones that came out with this and said, you know, it's not humane. It stresses the animals out to put them in drop-off kennels and keep them there overnight. And I mean, I just think it's a whole lot better than running down the side of the road and being scared or getting hit. I'd much rather, if my dog got out, somebody took it to the drop-off kennel.
Exactly.
At least it's safe. I mean, it might not be the best, but it's better than the situation of where they are. So
yeah, one location, everyone knows where to bring it.
Exactly, because if they change the different locations, it's amazing to me that a lot of public people don't even know where animal control is to begin with. And then you got to find, okay, on Friday nights it's over here, and the rest of the week it might be down in North Pole. You know, what are we going to do? And then the next year the contract changes. It's not consistent. So I can't keep track of the hours that they're open or not open. So I think I try and stay pretty up on it. So it's a mess, and I think that it doesn't have to be a mess. And I really honestly think that they're doing the best they can, but they are not, you know, they really haven't accepted public input. And I just think, I don't know why. So I just basically said, well, we're just going to form our own little group and have our own little citizens meeting and come up with what we'd like to have at the shelter. And then we'll present it to them. So this is what you should have. So, and they, like I said last week, they have denied my public records request to get a copy of the present design.
Okay. So now they're going in secret on you. Go ahead.
Oh, not very transparent.
Well, I guess my question would have to start with, how did they go about choosing the firm, the architect, the designer, whichever group is doing this? Because these are not common buildings.
Exactly. So they did an RFP, from what I understand, and just the main architect firm here in Fairbanks was the one that was awarded it. And I don't get enough information. I mean, I haven't asked who's on this design committee. Give me the names of the people that are on the design committee, and I can't even get that. But there are. I actually made one phone call to the Matt Suborough, director of animal control down there. I said, hey, did Fairbanks come down and take a look at your building or give you a call and say, hey, you know, you built a building 10 years ago. What do you like and not like about it? And he said, no one's ever called me. I said, well, you know, so I explained stuff. And he said, who we use is this architect firm out of Connecticut called Design Learned, like past tense Learn, L-E-A-R-N-E-D.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And this guy is Mr. Learned, who's the main architect. And when you go to designlearned.com, which is their website, I mean, it blew me away. And I thought, I made one phone call to find the best company in
North America,
in the States. Yeah, that knows how to do this, and that's all they do. They do veterinary clinics, animal shelters, and grooming facilities. And they don't. It's not just architects. They've got engineers on, you know, I mean, they've got everybody. They understand how to do the ventilation and sound design. I mean, just everything. And I thought, okay, it took me one phone call in 5 minutes to figure this out.
And you're not part of a governmental entity there, Gene.
Well, not anymore. I don't usually last but about 3 years at each time when I try. But yeah. But you know, it shouldn't be this way. And so I'm not against animal control, but I'm really against waste.
Yeah.
And I'm really worried we're going to have this white elephant building, and it's going to cost us a lot of money to fix it the way it needs to be, and we won't have that, especially right now at a pricey design of what it is. And I just think they could do a lot better if they just got an expert in there that said, hey, here. And this company apparently does look at designs that other architects have created, and will do a consult on that and say, no, this is not going to work.
And this was an ordinance that's sponsored by, written by whom?
Okay, the ordinance about the drop-off kennels, that was introduced by Savannah Fletcher, and it
they didn't, it hasn't changed. It basically says that they will have to have some provision for drop-off kennels that are monitored. And at first said drop-off kennels at the facility, but now apparently it's been interpreted by the, I assume, attorney, that facility, the animal control facility doesn't necessarily need to be animal control. So it could be contracted out.
Oh, how to play name games.
I mean, I know, you know, when you're in politics, you have to please everybody, or you think you do.
No, you don't.
And you have to.
No, you don't.
Well, and I get it that, you know, you go, okay, I'm going to listen to this person because they're supposed to be the experts in this.
Yeah.
But maybe they really aren't.
What gets me is, what does the Borough Animal Control do that makes them need a $30 million budget? And who was the person who said it's $30 million?
I can't find that out.
Wow.
I can't. All I know is what I read in the paper, that mm-hmm. it's gone up from 18 to 34 million or something like that. But when I ask about it, I can't get any information. And I don't understand that. I mean, I don't understand that would be deemed unfair to anybody else. And so I'm not going to get that information until it goes out to bid. That doesn't make any sense to me at all. And someone asked me, well, did you ask the mayor? And I said, well, you know, I asked Public Works, and I'm pretty sure I can appeal the denial, but it goes to the attorney. And the attorney was probably the one that gave him that information. So, you know, why should I bother? I'll just have our own little public meeting and move on.
There you go.
And I just think it's a public building with public money, and we should have some say. And when I found out that they said, well, actually, the reason we've never had any meeting about, hey, what would you like? Or would you like it to be two stories? You want it one story? Do you want, you know, where would you like it? Or, I mean, shoot, even what color would you like it to be? There's no input. So,
I just find $34 million a very ostentatious number for something like this.
From what I've been told is that they've designed it as a medical facility, and that's why it's now so pricey. They consider it a medical facility, so they have to have everything medical grade. And I go, it's an animal control facility. That's not the same at all.
No.
I mean, there is hygiene in there, but it's totally different than a medical facility.
There you go. Well,
anyway, there you go. And so if people are interested, it'll be, we'll record it on Zoom, so it'll be available to listen to. And then, boy, I mean, that website.
Okay. Well, hey, we got to get going now. I appreciate it.
I know you do. And so, yeah, and we'll just keep your ears to the ground, and we'll see what happens and whether they listen to us or not. I mean, they kind of listen to us with Mary Sy.
Okay. Hey, you have a great day.
Okay.
Yep. Fairbanks, you have a great day. I'll see you tomorrow. And I'll have Senator Click Bishop with me. You have a great day.